Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Tuned into, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Video Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., and we do come to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. On tonight, we have with us once again Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. We'll be delivering another powerful word from the Lord on tonight. If you missed last Thursday night, this Thursday night's broadcast, you need to go back to the archives and pull up Thursday night's broadcast and be blessed by this awesome man of God. His message title was, Who Sent You? But from Thursday night's broadcast, so if you missed it, go to my show website and pull it up and be blessed by that message. We're getting ready to go into prayer, but I'm asking our listeners, as I always do, I hope and pray that you have your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready to follow along with Overseer Joseph E. Jackson. We're going to be asking everyone to keep in prayer our sister in Christ, Gwen Walker. We know that she normally dials in. She's a faithful listener to this ministry. But she texted me earlier and said she's having some family issues, and so that's why she will not be on the air with us tonight. But she always go back and pull up the archives whenever she's not available to be live on the air with us. So keep her, Gwen Walker, in your prayers. We also want to continue to pray for those that are sick and afflicted, those that are bereaved on tonight. We want to continue to lift up the family of Sister Mary Abraham. The Rambis family, her sister, we are Rosie Rambis, Sister Rosie Rambis. We also want to keep in prayer Brother Thomas Hughes, his family. Keep him and his family in prayer. They both were former members of the St. James Baptist Church, and they both have made their heavenly transition. So we want to keep those families in your prayers. And not only those families that have lost loved ones, but anyone else, whether you know them or not, if they have lost a loved one, keep them lifted up in prayer. And then we also want to continue to pray ye one for another and the sick and afflicted. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again on tonight giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy to be praised. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for who you are. We bless your name, Heavenly Father, because you said in everything, in all things that we are to give you thanks because you are still worthy no matter what it looks like. So we come in today on, as sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus, over this worldwide platform on tonight, coming together saying, thank you, Heavenly Father, for who you are. Thank you for allowing us to wake up and see a brand new day that we have never seen before. Thank you for your grace and your mercy that you extend to each one of us, even though we don't deserve it. Thank you in the name of Jesus. We pray now, Lord, that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson, his entire family, and every saved believer all over the land. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we pray that your word will go forth with power on tonight as it always does. Should there be any listeners that are not saved on tonight, after hearing this word, it will be to open their mouth and confess their sins and their transgressions and ask your son, Jesus the Christ, to come into their hearts and save them even on tonight. And once they're saved, they will come to know that God's purpose is in the earth so that you will get the glory out of their lives, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Help us to decrease on tonight, Heavenly Father, so that you may increase in each one of us, that you get the glory. We pray, Lord, and lift up all those that faithfully dial into this worldwide platform, those that listening in through social media platforms, even those that are incarcerated behind prison bars all across America. We ask, Heavenly Father, that you will grant them all the desires of their hearts that's going to give you glory, honor, and praise, is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we also want to keep lifting up in prayer our pastor, sister, Minister E. Jane Ellis. She had surgery, if I'm not mistaken, it was hip surgery the other last week. So we're going to definitely keep Minister E. Jane Ellis of the Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church in your prayers as well. And again, all those that are sick and afflicted, whether we know them or not, keep them lifted up in prayer on tonight. We get ready to go to our music break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to yield the mic once again to Overseer Joseph E. Jackson. I see we have some more people that recently dialed in just now. So if you did not get a chance to hear Overseer Jackson on this past Thursday night, you need to go back to this show's website and pull up this past Thursday night's message and listen to it. Who sent you, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson? So he's going to be bringing forth the word very shortly on tonight once again. So please mark your calendars. He's scheduled every third Thursday night and also every fourth Saturday night. Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. Next Saturday night, we have none other than Pastor Norman King, my first cousin from Greensboro, North Carolina. He will be delivering God's word on next Saturday night. And speaking of the King family, we want to thank God for allowing our cousin, his sister, Mary Ann King, to be able to come back home once again from the hospital and recuperating. And I see that she is on the line tonight. We thank God for her and what God is doing in her life. So right now, we're going to go to our short music break. Then we're going to come back, and we're going to yield the mic to none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson.
I give you praise.
I
will rejoice.
Yes, we give God praise. Why? Because he is worthy of our praise. Again, no matter what it looks like, no matter how we feel, God, our Heavenly Father, our Creator, he is worthy to be praised. Well, before we close out for tonight, we will be opening up the phone lines once again for any listeners that have dialed in. If you have a question for my guest on tonight, Overseer Josephine Jackson out of Washington, D.C., who will be delivering God's word very shortly. We will open up the phone lines after he concludes tonight's message for the listeners to interact with him and give him words of encouragement if you feel led to do so. So I pray once again and hope that you all have your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready to follow along with Overseer Jackson. Overseer Jackson, I now yield the mic to you.
Thank you, sir. We honor the Lord tonight, and we bless him for his goodness, his mercy, and his kindness. And we just want to tell God thank you for all that he's done. He's been good. He's been kind. He's been gracious. I don't know about you, but I'm one of those people now that as I've grown older, I said a little earlier that when I was younger, I took so much for granted. But now that I've grown older, I'm just grateful for everything that the Lord has done. God's been good. He's been kind. He's been gracious. We're living in some rough times right now. The Bible said we're living in perilous times. I never thought that I would live to see these days, but they're here. They're here. And because they're here, we need to really just hold on to God as best we can. Father, we thank you. We praise, we magnify, glorify, and bless your name. It's preaching time. And you know what I asked you earlier today. I need you to anoint me to go forward in strength and in power. I need you, Father, to get in me, get in my voice, get in my whole system so that you can deliver the word as you see fit. Somebody needs to hear a word tonight. I know what you told me to preach, and so, Father, I'm going to do it. And I'm asking you now to anoint me. Like John said, less of me and more of you now in the name of Jesus. I must decrease that you might increase. And we ask you, God, to touch the hearts and the minds of those that are listening, those that are incarcerated, those that are in hospitals, those that are sick in their bodies, those that are disturbed tonight. I want you to know, I want them to know that God cares. Mabasha, glory, you care, God. And because you care, Father, we're delivering this word. Now anoint us to go forward. In Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
I'm in a little quandary right now because before you came on the air, I had a scripture. I had my scripture, and I guess I'll give a portion of that scripture. But the Lord suddenly kind of changed it and told me to go to another spot, and so I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I learned a long time ago that if you have the ear of God, he speaks mm-hmm. back to you. You ought to be able to hear him. The Bible said, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not follow. When God speaks, you better listen. He's like that old commercial they used to have years ago. When E.F. Hutton speaks, everybody listens. Well, you better listen when God says something to you. Out of Matthew, the 8th chapter, the 16th to 17th verse, it says, when evening came, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, And he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were ill. This was to fulfill what was spoken through Isaiah the prophet. He himself took our infirmities and carried away our diseases. Did you hear what the word said? He himself took our infirmities. He took your sicknesses. He took the aches and the pains, and he carried them away. Bless the name of God. All right. Here's another one, Matthew, the 12th chapter, the 15th verse. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew from there, and a great multitude followed him, and he healed them all. Mark 6, 56. Whenever he entered the villages, the cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made whole. One more, Mark 3 and 10. For he healed many, so that as many as had afflictions pressed about him to touch him. Now, I'm going to go to this last one because it's in the book of Judges, chapter 16, and I'm going down to, the 27th. I'm going to go down to the, let me see where this scripture is. I want it. All right. Hold on. All right. The 29th verse. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up of the one with his right hand and the other with his left. And Samson said, here's a prayer, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the lords and upon all of the people that were therein. For the Lord had a blessing upon the reading of his word. There was one other scripture that I wanted to read that was important to me. Here it is, the 28th. It should have been the 28th, 29th. All right, it says, and Samson called upon the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. This is important, folks. Remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once. In other words, one more time. O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And the message this night, this evening, simply says, Lord, do it again. Encore. Lord, do it again. A lot of people may not understand that word encore, and it's a word that we use particularly when we go to the theater and you're going to see somebody perform, and once they perform, at the end of that performance, if they've done a fantastic job and you pay some good money to see them, the crowd jumps to its feet and just applauds and applauds and applauds so that the performer knows that they want you to come back and give what we call an encore. In other words, do it again. That's what they're simply saying is, do it again. So if it meant that you went to see Patti LaBelle, or if you went to see Kirk Franklin, or if you just went to the theater to see maybe Jennifer Hudson and some other people sing or whatever, if they sing so well that you are so excited, you want them to come back out, because what they will do is they will wave their hand and bow and walk off stage. And the band will keep on playing, but they'll go backstage just to kind of refresh themselves. And as long as you clap, they'll come back. to give you an encore. They'll sing another song or two for you. It's called an encore. Lord, do it again. And my prayer is to God, Lord, do it again.
Yeah.
I need to break something down so that you understand. First of all, I need to talk about Samson just for a little bit, and then I'm going to go back to Jesus. Because when I read this situation about Samson, it brought this message to my mind. Because here you find Samson. He's in a bad state. He has lost everything. He has lost his dignity. He has lost his respect. He had lost his power, and he had lost his eyes because he hooked up with the wrong person. Remember I told you the other night, who sent you? You better be careful who comes into your life. You got to know who comes into your life and for what purpose. Who sent them? Did they come from heaven or did they come from hell? Delilah came from hell. Because she turned around and sold him out. And people will sell you out, folks. Let me tell you, they'll sell you out for whatever. If they're jealous of you, if they don't like you, and if you have a power and authority, they'll do whatever they can to bring you down. You better be careful and know who's in your life. Delilah sold Samson out for what would be the equivalent of $90,000. Five of the lords of the Philistines gave her 1,100 ounces of silver each. And if you add it up to the day's money, it comes to $96,000, almost $100,000. She sold him out. Not only did she sell him out, they took his eyes. And here you find Samson calling to God in prayer, Lord, do it again. One more time. Give me back my power. One more time. Let me avenge my eyes. They took my eyes, God. I was a fool. I did some stupid stuff. But they took my eyes. Let me die, Lord, in this place with them, because I'm going to kill them all. If you just anoint me one more time, let your Holy Spirit come upon me. And give me back the power so that I can take my hands and put it on these two pillars. And when I push, the whole place will come down. And the 3,000 people that are in here will all be killed. And I will be avenged. Now, that's not a prayer I would have prayed. But when you have lost your sight and when you have lost all your hope, you might pray a prayer like that. And the Bible said God honored his prayer and gave him the power to do what he asked God to do. Lord, do it again. Encore. What Samson was saying was, I picked up when I was in one city one time and they were looking for me and came for me, I left the whorehouse that I was in. And I got the city gate and put it on my shoulders and walked out of the place. When they messed over me with the girl that I had married, I took and messed up their fields, but they came after me, and I took a jawbone of an ass, and I killed 1,000 folks. I killed 1,000 people, but Lord, I need you to do it again. Give me the ability to avenge my eyes. And so I take that to just say, now that I want to go back into Matthew, notice what happens here. And I think this is the problem that the church is experiencing today. We have become impotent. We have a form of godliness, but we ain't got no power. There's no power. You got a form of godliness. Oh, you know God to an extent, but you don't have no power. The Bible said after that the Holy Ghost came upon you, you should have power. Power to cast out devils, power to do whatever God said we could do. He said because after the Holy Ghost came upon you, you could do everything that I did. And then he turned around and said, and you could do greater than me.
That's what he said.
And my question is, Where are the signs? Where are the wonders? Where are the miracles that he said that we were supposed to deliver to the people? The first scripture I read to you told you something that was interesting, and it blessed me because in the beginning it says that Jesus had a habit of just going everywhere to preach. And sometimes he tried to sneak away and to just get a little solitude, just a little bit of rest. But folk were watching him. And the scripture that we read earlier was to let you know there's a precursor to it, in that the Bible said he sneaked into a house in a certain city because he wanted to get some rest, but somebody saw him. And the Bible said it was noised abroad. That word noise means folk went to talking. The word got out. Hey, y'all, Jesus is in town. The healer, he's in town. The one who's given sight to the blind, the one who's letting people walk, the one who's casting out devils, the one who's getting rid of leprosy, the one who's raising the dead, he's in town. He's over at John's house. I saw him go into John's house, and the Bible says they came running to his house. How many people are running to your church?
Look out now.
How many people are coming to your church because they know that something is happening in the services at your house? I'm not talking about you dancing and shouting and running up and down. Where are the signs, the wonders, and the miracles? Jesus said that we could do these things. But we're impotent as the apostles were. When a man brought his demonic son to them to cast that devil out, they couldn't do it. And he had to turn them over to Jesus, and Jesus cast the devil out. And the apostles asked him later on, why couldn't we do this? And Jesus says, some things come through fasting and praying. My question to you tonight is, how many of you are fasting and praying and asking God to give you what you should have in order to be the effective witness that he needs to have in this day and in this time?
Yes.
God's got a challenge to us tonight. Why do you come to church? What are you looking for? What do you hope to get when you walk through the doors? I know he said enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and to be thankful to him and to bless his name. But what are you really coming for? Are you looking to see God show up and show out? Are you looking to see God work a miracle in somebody's life? Are you looking to see God give sight back to the blind? Are you looking to see folks in wheelchairs get up and walk? When I came up in Philadelphia at the Garden of Prayer, Church of God in Christ, under the anointing of Mother and Bishop Dabney, we came running to church every Sunday because we knew God was going to show up. When you walked into that church, you looked around the walls. You saw the crutches that folks had left. You saw the wheelchairs that people had gotten up from and walked away. You saw folks that you knew that couldn't talk, open their mouths and talk because they touched them, and God moved in the midst of our services and blessed the house. Drunks would walk into the house of God, and folks wouldn't get away from them because they were smelling bad, but they welcomed them into the house. And when they got into the house and heard the word of God, the Holy Ghost sobered them up, and some of them got saved and became preachers and deacons in the church of God.
Well, now.
Because God was moving by his spirit. What happened to us? Why don't we have that? The Bible said, and it was so interesting, that when they came into the house, the Bible said Jesus had compassion on them. He felt their pain. He felt their agony. He saw their misery. Are you telling me that you don't see that in the communities in which you live today? Are you telling me that you don't see folks that are hurting? and yet you walk and you go about your business as though it means nothing. Have you no compassion? Lord, do it again. God, send an anointing in your house and do it again. On the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost fell, the Bible said the folk came running to the house because they heard a sound. Peter came out and began to preach to them and told them about the wonders of God. And the Bible said 3,000 souls were saved in one service. How many souls were saved at your church on Sunday morning? How many? How many people were delivered? How many people were set free? And you wonder why the church seats are empty? Ain't nothing going on. Ain't nothing happening. Don't you realize that if we got that power back again and exercised it, then you would have busloads of people coming to your church?
Yes, Lord. Oh, yes.
When I came up in the church on Sunday morning, so much was happening in our services till people had rented, had chartered buses, and the buses would come to the church on Sunday. Just like they do for Benny Hinn and all of the other evangelists that were out there. I saw A.A. Allen. I saw R.W. Shambach. I saw Oral Roberts. I was in the tents. I saw the signs, the wonders, and the miracles. What kind of expectation do we have? People think that it was only supposed to, ministers are supposed to have that. That's not the case. That's not the case. That tells me that you haven't read the word.
Mm-hmm.
There was a guy by the name of Philip. Philip was a deacon in the church. He was not a minister. He was a deacon in the church. This is the one that met the Ethiopian eunuch because he had the ability to hear God. And God sent him on a mission and hooked him up with the black man that was from Africa and told him about the wonders of God, baptized him, and let him go back home where he helped to spread the gospel in Africa because of one man, Philip.
One man.
And the Bible said Philip was taken away from that place with the eunuch. And he went to another city, and he began to preach the gospel. He began to tell people about the goodness of God. And the Bible said he performed signs and wonders. He was able to lay hands on the sick like Jesus did. He was able to rebuke the devil like Paul did. You remember Paul. Paul and Silas were on their way to church one day, and this girl had a spirit of divination. And Paul did not rebuke the girl, but he saw that the girl needed to be set free, and he rebuked the devil out of her because he had a spirit of discernment. How many of you have a spirit of discernment so that when you see folks that need help, you can do what they did? Lord,
Lord
do it
Jesus.
Again. Lord, do it again. Lord, anoint us again. Lord, empower us again. Lord, empower your church to be the church that you called it to be. You said that we would do greater things than you did. And it's true. It's true. It's true. Folk laughed at me when I started doing the conference call ministry. They laughed because it had never been done before, but God gave it to me 8 years before the pandemic, and I was a trailblazer in that area. And folks laughed. Ain't nobody having no church like that. You just crazy. And they made me feel bad. But guess what? When the pandemic hit, every one of them called me.
Mm-hmm.
How do we start a ministry on the air? God will give you the ability to do things that he wants you to do, even if other folks are not doing it. You've just got to have the fortitude to do what God told you to do in spite of whether they talk about you or not.
I'm a witness.
The time has come now when we got to stop playing church. We got to stop playing church. The Bible said we live in perilous times. We live in dangerous times. We're living in a time where it's not easy to make it now. Inflation is everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. I was laughing at folks today because everybody's going to see the new Barbie movie. I said, listen, I had to pay my mortgage. I'll see Barbie on a free venue. I had to learn how to make my money have some sense. You better do the same thing.
I know
discernment
right.
will help you to do the right thing. God has gifts. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God has given out gifts to each individual who knows God. And he's given you the gift that will help you to do the job that he designed for you to do.
Amen.
Use the gift. Exercise the gift. Playing church, a form of godliness, but you ain't got no power. You ain't got no power. The Lord rebuked me the other day. He turned around and said, okay, your knee is hurting. Put your hand on your knee and tell me what you need to have done. Didn't I tell you the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much? Put your hand on your knee. Cast the pain out. I did what the Lord said do, and God has delivered me.
Amen.
Delivered me. You have power. You got to learn how to exercise it. You got to tap into God's power source. You know what's gonna what I'm scared of? I don't want to meet God and see him for who he is in all of his glory and say to myself, wow, I wish I had tapped into that.
Oh my
God. I wish I had trusted you enough to tap into that. God, I wish I had known who you really were. My prayer is, Lord, reveal yourself to me even the more. Help me to know who you are. Help me to know what you can do. Help me to be more compassionate to those around me. Help me to feel empathy for them, those that are in trouble. Lord, why am I praying prayers just for myself? God, I need you to touch the people in this city.
Yes,
I need you to
Lord,
touch
Jesus.
That mother that's struggling. I need
yes.
to touch that father that's wondering, can he stay with that family? I need you to give him what he needs to have. I need you to touch the people that are in the ambulance running to the hospital. I need you to touch the doctor's minds and hands so that when they are performing whatever, you can do what has to be done. But then the healing fact comes from you. I'm asking God to look on the nation. We're in trouble. We have individuals who are running for office, who have no connection with us. They're all for themselves. We've got people in the on the juries, on judges who don't care nothing about you.
Lord
and
Jesus.
Don't care nothing for the people and will do whatever they want to do. God, we need your help.
Yes, Lord.
Lord,
right now.
Do it again.
Yes.
Do it again, God. Do it again. We need you to touch. We need you to heal. We need you to deliver. We need you to set free. There are people that are bound with opioids. There are people that are bound taking crack cocaine. There are people that are bound with heroin. There are all kinds of addiction. There are folks that are drunks. There are folks that are fornicators. There are people out here, Father, that are whoremongers. We need to ask God to turn them around.
Yes.
Act like you know. I'm going to end, but something frightened me the other day. I saw it on the internet, but God allowed me to see it because it blessed me. And it said, preachers, preach like you have flown over hell. And you smelt the foul stench of hell. Preach like you've heard the screaming and the gnashing and the wailing of teeth. Preach like you felt some of the hellfire. preach like you heard the screams of damned souls. And then fly to heaven and look at the wonders that God has prepared for them that love him. And come back to earth and preach like you've lost your mind because you're trying to get people not to go to hell and to find their way to a glorious heaven. Preach like you've got a real purpose. And I want you to know that's why this message is coming tonight, because God needs us to act like we have a sense of expectation. We should come to church looking for God to show up and show out.
I know that's
just
right.
Just like the man at the gate, beautiful. He was lame. He couldn't walk. And one day, two broke preachers, Peter and John, two broke preachers. They were on their way to church. They had no money. Broke. Just like you and I sometimes. It ain't no problem to be financially challenged. Sometimes you just broke.
That's right.
They didn't have no money. But he was at the gate with an expectation. He said, if I sit here, somebody going to give me something.
Somebody.
Everybody ain't going to walk past me. Somebody going to give me something as they make their way to the house of God. Somebody going to give me a hand out of them. Bible said he looked on them and held out his hand. And Peter and the other apostles said, we broke, man. Silver and gold have I none. I ain't got no money. Well, I ain't even got an offering for church. I ain't got no money. He said, but such as I have, give I unto thee. He said, look on us. And this is where the miracle took place. The Bible said the man fastened his eyes on them. He eagerly looked at them because he knew he was getting ready to get something. He had an expectation. He had an expectation. Yeah. These guys may be broke, but they're getting ready to do something out of the ordinary for me. And the Bible said he took a hold of his hand and said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man went to leaping and jumping and screaming and hollering and jumping up and down because he was walking for the first time in his life. All because he had an expectation, and the saints of God were exercising the gift that Jesus said they could exercise because they had compassion on the person that they were looking at.
Yes.
Don't walk past people. If you can do something for them, help them out. In closing, I was on the bus on the subway one day, and I had $20. That's all I had on me. And when I got on the subway, I saw a little girl. She couldn't have been no more than 15 or 16 years old, and she was clutching something close to her breast. And I began to look and look, and suddenly it moved. And I watched. I said, oh, my God, this child has a baby. I said, how could somebody have done that to her? How could she have put herself, and the Holy Ghost stopped me cold and said, it's not for you to judge her.
That's right.
But you pray for her because you don't know the circumstance. You don't know if she was raped. You don't know what happened. But she's clutching that child. Pray for her and pray for the baby.
Amen.
And the Lord had me stand by the door and look in her direction and silently pray. I didn't walk over to her. The Lord told me to pray for you. No, you don't do that. I just looked at her and I just said, Lord, I need you to touch her. I need you to help her. I need you to do whatever. I need you to bless this young woman. And then as we rode, I was able to sit down, and she was able to sit down, and we sat in different spots, and I heard the Holy Ghost say, give her $20.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, God, I'm 78 years old. That's a young child. I can't walk over to her and just put some money in her hand. People will look at me as though I'm a lecherous old person trying to hit on that girl. I can't do that.
Right.
Oh, you better have some sense out here.
Amen.
And so I said to God, I said, I tell you what, if she gets off at my stop, I'll do what you say do. And my stop came, I got up, she got up.
Mm-hmm.
We walked off the subway. I was supposed to go right, but she went left. The Holy Ghost said, go give her the money. And I walked toward her, and she turned around, and because she was going in the wrong direction. She started walking back to me. And I said, Miss, excuse me. I don't mean any harm, but I'm a minister. And the Lord told me to give you this because you needed it right now. And I put the $20 in her hand, and when I put the $20 in her hand, she looked at me with tears in her eyes. And she said, sir, you didn't know the baby had no milk.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know what I was going to do.
But God.
And I said, sweetheart, God's going to make a way for you. Do you understand? I said, it's not going to be this way always. God is going to make a way for you. And she looked at me and she said, thank you. And she went away. You got to have compassion on people.
Lord, yes, sir.
If you have a gift of discernment, God will give you to know who to help, who to do things for. Mm-hmm. You got to ask God, stir up my gift. God, stir up my gift. It's getting late in the evening, y'all. Jesus is on his way back. You don't want these people to die and go to hell. And if you don't help some of them, guess what? Their blood is going to cry out against us in judgment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want nobody's blood crying out against me. If you miss heaven, you missed it because you knew that you could have gotten there and you didn't go.
Lord,
not
Jesus.
Because I didn't tell you.
That's right.
Father, we thank you. We praise you, magnify and glorify your name, and we bless you. Not an easy message, God, not a message where people are going to jump, dance, and shout, but it's a message that you said to tell them so that they'll exercise the gift. Glory. Folks need to be helped, and God, we need to get back on our job. Lord, do it again. Encore. Do it again. Do what you did years ago. Do it again. Send an Azusa revival throughout this country. We're in trouble. Lord, help us. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we thank you. Amen.
Amen. Oh, my God. What a powerful word on tonight. Overseer Jackson, just like you did on Thursday night, who sent you? And then you came back tonight with the encore, Lord, do it again. Wow, what a powerful word for such a time that we're living in on today. Thank you so much, Overseer Jackson. This was a powerful word. Listen, before I open up the phone lines, I forgot to give you all my spiritual food for thought. And it kind of, so to me, it kind of connects with this message that we just received from Overseer Jackson. I love how the Lord works things out. Maybe it was meant for me to give you all the spiritual food for thought last after the message. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, do your part so God can do his. Spiritual food for thought for tonight says, do your part so God can do his. You know, that's a phrase that people are going about saying, God is waiting on God. We're waiting on God. No, God is waiting on us. It was said that we say his name. He's waiting on us to do our part because he got all the blessings in his hand. The victory is already ours if we just do our part so he can do his, because he is a promise keeper.
Yeah.
So I just thank God for this moment tonight. I am getting ready to open up this phone line. For those of you that have dialed in, I know I was not the only one that was blessed by this powerful word on tonight. And just like I said earlier, if you missed this past Thursday night's message by Overseer Jackson, you need to go back to the website and put it up and listen to that and be blessed all over again. The phone lines are open right now. Is there anyone that may have a question for Overseer Jackson? Or if you enjoyed the message or you just want to give him a word of encouragement, the phone lines are open. Anyone?
Yes. He did it again. I just love it when I call in and you speaking. You just keep on, baby. You just keep on preaching. You did it again.
Thank you, mother.
Mary Ann King from Greensboro, North Carolina, Overseer Jackson. My cousin from Greensboro, North Carolina, Mary Ann King. Anyone else?
Man, that thing is ugly.
Hello, anybody else? Praise the Lord. Anybody else?
Your son came with GoDaddy. He was off for the first time.
The phone lines are still open for anyone else that may have a comment for Pastor Nick or Overseer Jackson, or if you receive this word on tonight and you want to give him words of encouragement, you can do so. The phone lines are still open.
Yeah. Hello.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can hear you. Go ahead.
It just left me in awe because the things that came forth out of the vessel's mouth was definitely confirmation. Especially when you're talking about Samson and Delilah.
Mm-hmm.
Actually confirmation, because I was actually talking to someone today about that. So that just lets me know that God is really in the blessing business, and with all on one accord, I want you to know to keep on preaching God's word, keep on doing what you do, because the best is still yet to come. And that's for you and Brother Brown. I want you both to know that that table that God is spreading for the both of you all. You all haven't seen anything yet, and I see overflow. I see whatever you all need. Lack shall not attach itself to you all anymore. Lack has been broken off of you. Wealth and riches shall live in your home. God bless you both. I love you, and there's something you can do about it.
Thank you, brother. Amen. We appreciate you. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sister Tara Dorf. Sister Tara Dorf, a member of Peace and Goodwill Baptist Church. Anyone else, the phone lines are still open. If you were blessed by this word on tonight, the phone lines are still open. Praise the Lord.
Yeah, God bless you. When
Pastor
King. When he mentioned about going over hell, you know, preaching, you know, with a focus like that, it reminded me of Proverbs 11:30. It's a King James. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise, you know. And I thought about that scripture when he said, because it's so true, you know. We got to have, you know, that compassion, you know, and the concern about the souls, you know.
That's
like
right.
That. And you're right, because that needs to be spoken. We got to, let me say, before I say spoken, we got to have a consciousness like that, you know,
that's
to be
it.
More and compassionate for people, God. Amen. And I thank you for you bringing the word and being obedient to the Holy Spirit. Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you so
Amen.
Much, sir. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Norman King. Thank you so much. Don't forget, listeners, that's Pastor Norman King from Greensboro, North Carolina. He will be delivering God's word on next Saturday night, so you want to tune in and be blessed by another awesome man of God, as God always uses him to deliver a powerful word over this worldwide platform. So we get ready to, again, we want to continue to lift up Gwen Walker. She'd normally be on the line, but she texted me and said that they was having family issues, that her being the oldest, they always run to her, and I know how that is. When you're one of the oldest in the family, people seem like they just run to you for everything, it seems like. But,
God, I know that, so.
She wanted to apologize and let everybody know that that's why she was not on the line tonight, but she will go back later on and pull up tonight's broadcast and listen to it in her leisure time. So, Overseer Jackson, once again, I thank God for opening this door for you to be a part of this robot platform. Thank God that he now have you coming on every third Thursday night and every fourth Saturday night delivering awesome words from the Lord, because people are truly being blessed by this worldwide ministry platform. Like I always tell the listeners and my guests, it's not about me. It's not about the guests. It's all about Jesus. It's all about God.
Yeah.
It's about God's word going forth with power. The souls can be saved. Backsliders have an opportunity to come back to the fold. And that those that are in the body of Christ can be built up and strengthened and edified through God's word. That's what it's all about. That's why we need to encourage one another in God's word. And you can't do that if you don't know God's word. So, Overseer Jackson, once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule to come on and bring forth another word on tonight. Pastor Norman King, since you're still on the line, if you don't mind, could you please pray us out on tonight? Pastor Norman King, could you please pray us out?
Yes. Father, we're so humbly grateful and privileged to have this opportunity to be obedient to the assignment that you have given. We thank you for your many blessings that you bestowed upon this ministry. If you are still reaching through obedient servants, amen, through all of what's been happening and all the work and the labor, not that we're doing it for show, but we thank you, Father God, for what you have done and what you're doing. We know we don't know all who is touching, but we know it's touching because your word will never return void. And we just want to be obedient and believing and trusting in you. And we thank you, Father God, for those who are here listening tonight, those who are not, but there are some who have listened who go out and share your word. We know that prayer is still, you say, fervent prayer to righteous belly much. We know, Father God, those that's going through different situations tonight, and we know if they heard this word, Father God, they have been blessed by the word, and they have got to extend it, Father, to say those who hear it must go tell somebody about what you have done tonight. We thank you. We love you. And to meet again, we thank you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much, Pastor Norman King. Overseer Jackson, do you have any final words before we go off the air tonight? Overseer Jackson.
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm just going to make sure I'm here next Saturday to hear Pastor.
That's right. All right, yeah, so Pastor Norman King will be on next Saturday night.
All right. I'll be there, Lord willing.
Okay, thank you so much, Overseer Jackson. Thank you, Pastor Norman King. Well, as I always say, encourage one another with God's word, not with your feelings, not with your opinions, but with God's word. We also want to keep in prayer my Uncle Jeff from Marion, Alabama. The doctors have given him a limited amount of time, but we know that God still works through doctors, but God still has the final say. No matter what it looks like to us, he'll turn that situation around for his glory. So either way, we know that God is still going to be glorified, so we want to continue to lift up our Uncle Jeff and then our cousin Ken Hogue, who had shoulder surgery on last week, but he's home now recovering. And then also our cousin Mary Ann King, who just spoke on the line tonight, she's home from the hospital as well. And Aunt Essie Tutt from Greensboro, North Carolina. We want to also keep them lifted up in prayer. Uncle Malachi and Aunt Lily Mae King, we want to continue to lift them up and keep them lifted in prayer as well. So we thank God for who he is, and we thank God we don't have to send him anywhere. He's everywhere at the same time. What a mighty God we serve. Until the next time, be blessed of the Lord. Good night.